Hello, it's Whitney, and I want to welcome you to Ladies Takeover Empowerment Podcast, where we're all about helping you to succeed and become the very best version of yourself. So, on tonight, I'm super, super excited to have some great friends of mine, none other than Pastor Rick and Tracy Pringle, who are going to be with us to kick off Season 7, Part 2 of Relationship Edition for our Episode 7. So please, everyone, help me welcome my good friend, the Pringles. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hi. Hey, y'all. How you doing? Thank you for having us, wonderful. Dr. Carrie.
You're so welcome. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're busy. And listen, you guys have been all around the world traveling. You still on your honeymoon?
We get it from y'all, okay? Don't stop.
Not at all. I am not honeymooning. No.
Well, you know, 19 the honeymoon years doesn't, in. It doesn't end after, you know, the beginning of the marriage is supposed to continue. So, you know, you and you and Bishop Kerr, you all are teaching us, you know, even that far in the game, you should still be, yeah. You gotta keep throwing wood on the fire if you want it to burn.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm super excited to have you guys tonight. And let's just jump right in, tell everyone your names, how long you've been married, and you can tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, children, all that good stuff.
Well, I'm Pastor Rick, and already I forgot the questions. I'm Pastor Rick, and this is Lady Tracy Pringle.
I'm Lady Tracy.
Lady hey, Tracy girl. Pringle. We pastor the Worship Center DC on Capitol Hill. We have been officially married in November, will be 2 years. It came very fast. We did the private marriage and then the public marriage. So a lot of people
listen. Gotcha.
A lot of people are confused. To. Yeah. We have what are you talking about?
Yeah, we have 4 kids, 2 teenagers, 16, 17, and then 2, I guess they're not toddlers anymore, 5 and 6. So, one is in kindergarten, so.
Okay.
We got me.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Those days are gone. Hallelujah.
and then asking us about starting over.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay. Come on. Yeah, you know. tell us how y'all met then. Because clearly do you have a blended family?
We do. Yeah. We do indeed.
Okay.
So you want her story or you want my story?
I mean, you both can tell your story because it's probably a little bit of truth on both sides.
Right. It's gonna be a little bit, but if I tell the whole story, it's gonna be a whole lot. Okay, so the truth of the matter is, we actually went to high school together. To high school together, and she doesn't like it when I say this, but it is what it is. We went to high school and we were from 2 different sides of the track, okay? Gotcha. I was a little bad child. I was Well, I was a class clown. How about that?
Yeah. Okay.
So I was even in our class superlatives, I was voted, you know, class clown. And you know, she was a cheerleader and you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was a cheerleader and a dancer and all this other kind of stuff, and she paid me absolutely no attention. Okay. So fast forward 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're preparing for our 20th class reunion, and I just so happened to be planning the class reunion. And in the midst of, we ended up having some correspondence because of some fundraisers and things that was leading up to.
Because it all happened during the pandemic. So one got canceled or something like that. Yeah.
Right. And we were the actual first class that was actually able to have ours. So, you know, it was a whole lot going on. So it was a lot of back and forth communication. And that's how we had our initial communication. And then, but the funny thing is, we were like Facebook friends for like, I just posted it a few days ago, for 15 years or something like that.
Really?
And yeah. So we started communicating that way, and then just started talking. One thing led to another, and she just...
He's been stuck to me ever since.
That's not how it was. But yes, it is true. But you know, after the first conversation,
was he a pastor, Tracy, when you were talking to him?
No. So
you about to start some stuff already.
Now that is one thing. So, you know, in our initial courting, I guess, dating conversations, he did say, you know, that his goal was to become a pastor one day. And I'm thinking, you know, years down the line.
Right. But,
right.
No, I meant like in a few months.
Right. That came quick. Yeah.
You were the piece that was missing. That was all he needed.
Baby, it was the favor from the Lord that I need. But the funny thing is, and let me go back just a step further. You know, being young and married, because the truth of the matter is, I was divorced. I was previously married. And I was single for 10 years. 10 solid years. And not meaning that I didn't get into any relationships, but you know, I'm a mortician, so to us, if you're not married, you're single. So
yeah,
I was single for 10 solid years, and I was praying to God. I was like, God, when I go into this next level of ministry, and I remember talking to my former pastor, Bishop Nelson, and when he first became my pastor, he was asking me, what's stopping me or what's keeping me from launching out. And like I expressed to him, I did not want to be a pastor and a single man at the same time. And this was years before we even came into contact with each other. However, so I was praying to God. I was like, God, if you want me to do this, you can't have me out here in the street like this. And I went to God with a list, because I remember I listened to the podcast last week, and he was talking about when you've been divorced, going to or looking for a wife or a husband the next go around, you know what you're looking for.
Right.
So I went to God with an honest list, and in those 10 years, I did not find everything checked off on me. I'm not going to say that, you know. Yeah, but I mean, it was a long list, number one, because when you know the call that's on your life, and you know where God is taking you, my prayer was, God, you can't just have me out here with anything. I need a helpmeet that is connected to my family, or that will be connected to my family, not just somebody that's keeping the bed warm at night. There is a difference. I'm like, Lord, I'm not necessarily asking you for a co-pastor, but I'm asking you for somebody that I'll be able to, at night after dealing with this, I can come home to. Like, who comforts the comforter?
Right. Exactly.
Who pours into the poor? So, and you know what I do for a living all day, every day. So my entire life is really based around ministry. So every night when I come home, for years, every night I would come home, you know, making everybody else happy, doing the work of the Lord, all this other kind of stuff. But at night, I come home to nothing and emptiness. Lord, I can't go into ministry like this. I wasn't rushing them. I didn't give them a timeline, anything like that. I just gave them. I'm like, Lord, these are the desires of my heart. And if I trust you like I say I trust you, I'm going to wait until you send it. And when I found her, I wasn't even looking for her.
Wow.
It was like the Lord, Everything just happened. When your steps are ordered,
yeah,
you ain't got to force stuff to happen. You don't have to make stuff happen. God is saying, if this is what I have for you, and my prayer to God was, even in dating, I was like, Lord, if it's not for me, you purposely block it. So that when it is right, and it'll when it is the right one, you'll know it. And when she came around, I knew it, because she checked off every box. And the main thing with us was, when we first started dating, I learned to value her voice. That's actually what attracted me to her the most, because I valued the advice that she would give. I valued when I was doing...
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to hear this, boy.
Make sure you go back and screen record this, ladies.
Oh, she is.
He said,
"She gonna wait. Your she voice. Gonna wait until we in a heated argument. Like, remember this?
That's how this works.
I'll try to have pillow talk and ask him, like, so how do you feel about me, and what do you think? And he's just like, do we even have to talk about this right now? So that's good.
And gotcha. The funny thing is, because you know me, Dr. Carey, I keep saying Whitney, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And you know, so like, there are so many things. Well, first of all, I do so many things, so it's so much on my mind all at the same time. And then like when I come home, and sometimes like when I'm trying to relax, a lot of times I don't get sleep at night because my brain is just constantly going.
It's hard to turn off.
Yeah. So like a lot of times you sit there, oh, what are you thinking? And I'm like, oh, you don't even want to know. Let's talk and have sweet pillow talk. I'm like, babe, right now, I'm just trying to sigh so I can go to sleep. So it's it's not like I don't want to share. It's just that sometimes it's just so much.
So then what do you do, Lady Tracy? How do you get him to wind down after having long days and dealing with people who are around death all day long? What do you do?
You know we newlyweds, right?
Yes. Oh, okay. I do know. I saw her do something that I thought was really, really sweet. So I'm just wondering if she's gonna mention that.
Oh, yeah.
Are you gonna mention it?
No, she's waiting on you to talk about it.
Well, okay,
you go ahead and teach your class on tonight. I love your man.
For him, I know that his love language is food. So if I cook him a meal, especially if it's sweets or desserts or something like that, it'll relax him and he'll go on to sleep.
Or if she puts on a good pot roast, ooh, shatai.
Yeah.
I know she missed me and wanted me to come home.
So with that, it was the workers' conference, and he had been gone for a week. And of course, I had that whole setup with cramps.
Backstory is, since we've been dating, honestly, because we do everything together, since we've been dating, this was the longest that we've been away from each other since 2001. Since 2001.
Really?
Yeah. It was funny. I didn't think about it until afterwards. Like, wow, we haven't been away from each other for a solid week since 2021.
Yeah.
So this was new and this was different. And it's funny. I'm gonna let you jump back in there. Remember that point. It's funny because the last time I was on your podcast, I think the title of the segment was Reinventing Yourself. And not to know that. We were talking about how I reinvented myself in the past, and not to know that my biggest reinvention would come after the podcast that we had.
Yep. I was talking to my assistant about that very thing, because somebody else was talking to me about doing a season and a segment around men who were like in ministry that were single. And they were like, Rick was single. The last time he was on there, he was single. Now he's not no more. He's married. They were like, your podcast is on fire. I said, that listen. Is not what this is for.
Listen, she put out that announcement, girl. He the most eligible bachelor in D.C.
And we talked about it.
No, that was not. But this
he like, she like, nah.
This is a huge reinvention. And it's funny that you say that, because even in ministry, and that's even what I want to say to even some ministers that are out there that are single. It is very hard for us in ministry being single.
Yeah.
I was actually disqualified. I was in the running to be a pastor for a couple of churches. Thought that I was following the will of God, seeing what, you know. And I was disqualified for the simple fact that I was unmarried.
I believe that.
So it was like, you're not qualified to pastor because you're single. Number one, you're young, single. So it's like you got two double whammies against you. So it kind of forces, and it will force you to make decisions just for the look or just for the image.
Yeah.
And I would caution any young minister that's thinking about, you know how Bishop said it last week, you know how we grew up, it's better to marry than burn?
Yep.
I would highly caution young minister to seek marriage just because of a look, or just because this is what you have to have to go to the next step, or if I want to get elevated, I gotta have a wife, blah blah blah. Number one, stop playing with people.
Okay.
That's a game. That's a game. Stop playing with people. And like I say to her all the time in joking, but some people are looking for love and some people are looking for help. How can you make me look better? How can you get me to the next? You know, I'm going for that image. No, I don't want no image, because I was fine by myself for 10 long years. So I'm not going to wait that long and do this just for an image. Because so a lot of people, they thought, oh, well, Rick's pastor now, so he got to get married. He got to blah, blah, blah. So it was like,
right.
He was trying to do that. No, it ain't had nothing to do with that, because the best day of my life was the day that I got delivered from the opinion of people.
I know that's right.
To the point where I don't care whether you like the fact that I'm a single minister or not. I'm not making a decision because of something that you want, because you can, you know how you take two steps forward and you take six steps backwards?
Mm-hmm.
You marry the wrong person, you get connected to the wrong person, and that would be detrimental to your life.
Yeah.
So you have to pray about even choosing your mate. But I caution any minister that's trying to find marriage just so that you are qualified or acceptable in the ministry world. No, go to God in prayer, because there's ministry with your name on it in a different way, in a different time, and you don't have to do it that way.
Yeah, 100%. So, Tracy, tell me.
Wait, she didn't tell get back to her all the way off. My bad. Oh,
it's okay.
The word, the sign, the welcome home.
Go ahead, girl.
And the welcome home sign and everything. Wait, did you like it?
I loved it. And let me say, because I say this all the time in our conversation, the best feeling for a man is coming home and feeling wanted, feeling loved, feel appreciated. The worst thing for a man is, I've been at work, I left when it was dark, I've been at work all day, I come home to an empty dark house, no food in the microwave because I'm coming home late, no food on the stove, the house is all dark. You upstairs in a bed with a face mask on and a bonnet.
Shut up.
Sometimes,
okay, men, what if she had a long day, Pastor?
She had a long day too,
and she was working.
I understand. I do understand. But sometimes, you know, a man wants to feel appreciated when he comes home. So this, and it was totally unexpected. It's different when it's done from the heart and it's unexpected than it's something that I got to beg you for. Oh, I'm sitting there saying, baby, when you going, can you please? And then one day you finally do it, and it's like, oh, you listen to me. or if I'm not saying anything about it and it comes from the heart, I feel it. And it was like, you know what? Just like when I came home, I was like, girl, you just be knowing. like you just be knowing. And I was like, I was blown away. Like, yeah.
So, Lady Tracy, tell me, what is it? What did it look like y'all dating? Was it similar? What did y'all do? Being, you know, saved, and he was in ministry. He wasn't necessarily a pastor, but he was in ministry. Like, what did that look like for you guys? Were you cooking for him? Were y'all, what did that look like to get to where you are now?
Well,
because, you know, girls want to know, they want the ring. They want to know, did you do something special? Women think that they want ministers or they want pastors. I be cautioning, like, that is not what you want. You don't know what you're asking.
It's really not. But luckily, I kind of, I guess, fit the criteria and fit the description because I do have children, I brought children into the relationship. So I was already cooking, you know, every day and things like that. And that's something that he likes and enjoys. And he would say all the time. As far as dating, we had a really good courtship. Like, he stepped up and he really wowed.
Oh, I laid it on heavy.
He wowed my socks off. So, you know, imagine all of the, our milestones, like the engagement and things like that, but it was kind of condensed into, how long did we kind of, was that like 2 weeks? No, 2 months.
Before.
I was going to say you dated for 2 weeks and then got married.
No. We dated for
I was like, what?
So how about this? I proposed on our 1 year anniversary of us dating.
But like,
really?
So about the initial like courtship before we decided to actually be serious with each other.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was
yeah.
And because, you know, being in the DMV, let's talk about it. There is diarrhea in the dating pool.
Yes.
Shut up. I can
So this was something, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was welcome. And then, I'm sorry. But most importantly, it wasn't forced. None of it was, it was just so natural. It was like, how, like you turn over and you look and you're like, how do we even get here?
Right.
And then like, you look back and it's like, we've been together that long?
Yeah.
I mean, in our world, it does kind of sound cliche to say like it was God, but it really like the way that everything happened and we just fit together so well, it was.
Yeah. And
you were looking forward for a minister or pastor, like I know you said that he said it afar off, but was that what you were looking for? And then when it did happen,
she didn't even want to be married to a pastor when I told her.
No, okay, so he doesn't even know this. I didn't want to be married, period. because I had been engaged before to my children's father.
Okay.
And both of the engagements, you know, ended.
But when the right one comes along, you want something that you thought
come
you
could on here.
Right. So like after that, I made up in my mind that I was just going to be a single mom, you know, for the rest of my life, basically. It really wasn't a need for me to get married, you know. And then when he came along, he made me rethink things and I prayed on it and, you know.
And then also after we started dating, life took a turn. Like her mother took ill, that became a whole situation in itself.
Yeah.
So like life.
Even with that, like with my mom becoming terminally ill, it was like he's a mortician. Like it's that's why I'm saying everything happened. It was God.
So let me go a step further. I told this story at her mother's funeral. The day that they called us to the hospital that her mother was getting ready to transition, we were there with her mother all day, and the children had come in the room and they was, you know, spending their last moments with their grandmother. And once they went out to go to the bathroom, I said, well, let's fix her up, make her comfortable. I said to her, it was only me, Tracy, and her two girlfriends in the room. And I told her girlfriends, I said, well, let's fix her up, make her comfortable. So I told them what to do, and they went over there and tried it, and it just wasn't working. It was like, okay, well, you're the mortician. This is more of your thing. Like, you come do it. So I went, and I made her comfortable, and I made her, you know, at peace, rolled up the towels and everything, all that other kind of stuff. And as soon as I took my hands off her, the moment that I took my hands off her, she slipped into glory. It was like she was comfortable. Wow. And it was almost like the same thing. And another thing, we got married early because of her. We knew that her health was failing, and she would not make it to our actual wedding date. So we actually got married prior to because of her. And the Lord allowed that she would be there to witness us get married, and she was called home 3 weeks later. So it was almost like she was only holding on long enough to see her only child
get married
and be off.
That's beautiful.
And the day that she stepped out of here was like, all right, I trust you. I'm gone.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is absolutely beautiful.
Like, anybody in my family, that's all they would say. Like, your mom really, she wanted you to be married so bad.
But the amazing or the beautiful thing about it is to know that she trusted Rick with you, you know? And then when I think about it, that's a heavy weight, that's a heavy burden, and a heavy responsibility that you have to carry. I remember when my father was passing, and Dominique said the same thing, that my father like kind of pulled him to the side and grabbed his hand when we were in the hospital and nobody else was there. And he told him, he was like, I trust you, man. Like, this is on you, and take that responsibility. That's a heavy burden and heavy responsibility to take care of when the parent is telling you, I'm going on to glory now. Now you take care of my child that I love so dearly. You know?
Not just my child, my grandchildren as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I know that you're the one for the task. Like, Rick is it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful that they got to experience each other the way that they did. They really got to develop a good, you know, relationship. Because my mom, she started having strokes, and she had like aphasia and memory loss and things like that.
Okay.
And so they built their relationship before all of that happened. So I'm so grateful, you know.
Girl, we'll be dancing and singing, doing the butt, you doing the butt. Listen.
Oh.
I get it, girl.
That's great. That is amazing. Well, let's talk about this. Tell me, in the short amount of time that you guys have developed your relationship, have you encountered conflict? And if you have, why are you laughing? How do you guys find yourselves dealing with conflict? Like, what do you do?
You want me to start, or you? No, I'll let you start, and then I'll wrap it up.
Well, for me, I guess I had to kind of learn his personality, because he has a very like alpha personality. So
don't make me look like that to the people.
Well,
everybody knows you, Rick. Like, they know these things. So, I guess, you know, because I am an only child and things like that, I'm more coy, I guess, and soft. And so, sometimes when he would have a certain tone and things like that, not startle me, but I would be taken aback. So I had to kind of get used to the way that he expressed himself, so that there would be less conflict.
So I'll jump in. I had to learn. I'm still learning, and it's an ever learning process, where I had to soften who I am, because going through life as
not lesson, but just.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, not lessen who I am, but right. Just soften.
Yeah.
And like how I train my team at work, it's not what you say most of the time, it's how you say it. And you win with honey more than you do with vinegar. So a lot of times I'm so used, and you know, I'm a former Marine, so I'm so rah, rah, like get it done. I'm so mission oriented and talking to my staff and dealing with folk that, you know, are helping me to get stuff done. So that when you come home, who are you talking to? You can't talk to me like you talking to the people right. at the church, at your job, the people right. that you know, else. Because first of all,
employee.
Yeah, I'm not your employee.
So
you can't talk to me like that. And then at the same token, you flip it around like I'm not your child.
Right.
I know you. Mm-hmm. I know you're dealing with the children all day, but when it comes to me. You don't address me like you're addressing them because I ain't your child, boo-boo. So yeah, that's a constant lesson. And I mean, that communication is something that we're always trying to become better at.
Let me tell you, one time, I just saw Rick not too long ago at a funeral. And where he was like, "Hey, I said move right now." I said, "Ooh,
it gets intense."
Like,
that's what makes me so good.
I was like, "You better not play with Rick. You better do what he said, dude. He said, move that body, move that body." I was like, "Oh my gosh, you better get out of his way." So
I'm just a perfectionist. Yeah. Most people that work with me
don't
they
be
know
doing
my
that heart. To Tracy when she at home, Rick.
I know. Don't listen, talk to I her don't. Like oh, that. Trust me.
I check him.
If nobody else does, and then she'll come back. Your mama may not have checked you, but I'm a check. Yeah. But I want to get back to confidence. So as we mentioned earlier, there's a blended family.
Yeah.
So we had to learn early on how children can play a role in blended families.
Yeah.
And pulling us away from each other.
Yeah.
We even had to have a conversation where we had a sit down with, you know, her children's father, and we had a whole come to Jesus with all of us, where we even
That's
had to
great.
Let the children know, hey, y'all not gonna pull us apart from each other. If she says it's one thing, I'm like, you can best believe I'm gonna be 10 toes down on whatever she said. Don't come to
That's
me
great.
Afterwards talking about something. Oh, can I do something after you ask your mother? You know your mother said no, because trust and believe, I'm going to go check with your mother, and whatever she said, go.
That's it.
And we had to learn early on, no, we got to be a united front.
Right. Yeah.
If you say no, we both saying no together, not we saying no with our mouth and shaking our head. No, uh-uh. Our no means no, and our yes means yes. And if she's saying no, even if I want to say yes, mama said no. And we had to learn that early on. And not even just that, even with the church, because you know, First Lady, co-pastor, you know.
Yeah.
The church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes. Even where you have to learn how you don't allow the church folk or the church business or even the church members and their issues to come in between us.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
No.
Mm-mm. That's great.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. And that brings me to a point that one of the questions I was gonna ask is, how do you maneuver? How do you find yourselves maneuvering through the intricacies of being married at home and being pastor and first lady, because there is a difference. And so sometimes people do play on those buttons. They know Pastor Rick's soft spots, you know what I mean? And they may know that Lady Tracy, they take her meekness for a weakness. So how do you guys balance each other out when it comes to things like that, dealing with people at the church?
So I'll say this, we talk about everything.
Yeah, and we have each other's back, so.
So that when you go to Lady Tracy, after I already said something, no. And then at the same, so we've learned, you know, through the ups and downs of ministry, we've learned that, you know, regardless of what's going on, they come back and check everything with me to make sure we're all on the same page. And then at the same token, we are very grateful. We are very, 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 very grateful that we have surrounded ourselves with wise counsel. We can both be successful in ministry and our secular jobs, all this other kind of stuff, but we're new to marriage. So we're grateful that we have some wise folk who are willing to hold our hands and get down in the trenches with us. And walk us through this journey.
Get down and pray with us.
And when I say get down in trenches, I mean in the trenches where it's muddy.
Good.
I mean, get down there with us and walk us through it, because, you know, every day ain't peaches and cream. And then the thing that we have to understand is that it's more spiritual than we think.
Mm-hmm.
And if the devil, if the devil knows in advance what God has formed here and the potential and where we're going, if he can try to get in and separate and stop this now, then he's going to do everything that he possibly can to try to make that happen. So you have to be rooted and grounded in prayer. And regardless of what comes, what happens, we're going to make this thing work. You ain't going nowhere. Yeah. I ain't going nowhere. If she think I'm going somewhere, I'm picking up a bag and I'm going right where she going.
To me, even before we got married.
Yeah. Because when you pray for something, and this is not even just relationships, when you've prayed to God for something for so long, and when God actually gives you or rewards you with what you've been praying for, what do you do with the gift that God gave you? How do you treat that gift? How do you take care of that gift? So every day I'm praying, Lord, show me how I'm supposed to love her. I've been through a marriage before. I know how to mess it up. I know how to make an effective mess of a marriage. So I'm like, Lord, this go around, help me do this the right way.
That's awesome.
Teach me how to love her.
That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So then when it comes to your blended family, and you said that you guys are a united front, which is very, very important. What other advice can you give people that are going in and are newly married? Because I, you know, Bishop and I, we counsel people all the time. And that is a huge problem when you're bringing in kids, exes, trying to blend families, even in-laws. Trying to blend families, because you guys are good, you guys love each other, but it's the outside mixture of the families that sometimes creates a lot of tension. So for the people who are watching, what advice could you give them?
You wanna go first?
We keep each other first. And like he said about church, we discuss everything. So it's hard for anybody to come in between, you know, and do the he said, she said thing with us, because we're always, you know, in communication with each other. One of the other things about the blended family was parenting styles. So we had to... Yeah, we had to blend with each other on our parenting style.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Because of course that's I'm a little and the funny thing is, she wants to know why you feel that way. How do you think? Tell me how you feel. And me growing up, my background, I don't care how you feel, you do it.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised the same way. I'm a girl, and my brother, I didn't get beat. I got like slapped a couple of times for getting smart, but I didn't get like beat. But my brother got beat because I was a girl. I'm a daddy's girl, you know, so it wasn't the same. We didn't get treated the same. So then now I have two boys, and my husband, he like taking belts. He taking the back of his brush in. I'm like,
Do it.
I'm like, abuse. Hold on. Right. No. Exactly. We cannot. The child is two. What are we doing? And
do
I'm like, stop it in front of him. No. He jumping off the pulpit. Like, I'm hurting my kids. I'm like, they're just crying. I got it. It's okay. Like, no, stop. And he's like, no, they boys, you gonna make them soft. I'm like, what is happening here? I don't even understand what's going on.
Because we discipline a different way, and the balance is important.
Right.
Because even
both are needed.
Yeah, because even now, like, she can be saying something, and they know I'm coming right behind her as the enforcer. She'll say something, they'll pay her no attention, they still playing the game. Did you hear what your mama said? Instantly, they want to tell you.
It is. It's that male authority, that male voice.
But when that happens, you can see her standing in the background like, like, I got your back, boo.
I mean, it's a fine line, right? Because, like, I want that. But then, like, I don't need you going so far that, like, you just ruined the whole... You just brought the whole room down, like, to a whole nother level. Yeah. I don't even know what's going on. It wasn't even that serious. Like, you'd be like, don't disrespect your mother. I'm like, I didn't feel disrespected. I'm fine. I'm good. It's okay. Yeah. Please.
I want to add something, too, before we leave this portion, but I want to go back a step further because I want to say to some people that are listening to this podcast or is watching later on, and we talk about the whole dating scene. And I understand where a lot of people, most definitely mothers, it's hard for them to date with children.
Yeah.
Because you keep on the feeling, okay, well, nobody want me. I have four kids. I didn't say you said that. Okay, you're different. All right. We're talking about other people. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's do some ministry. Let's talk to the there are some people who feel, you know, and the dating scene will have you feeling like that because you have children. People see that as baggage. I don't want to date anybody with children. Or okay, you have four children. I don't want to date anybody with four children. Mm-hmm. Or you've been married before, you did everything the right way, you ain't got a whole bunch of baby daddies, but now you're out here, you're single again. I want you to know that the Lord will send somebody that will, number one, appreciate you for who you are, that will love you for who you are, and not just love you, they'll love the whole package that comes along with you. There are men out there that will love you and love your children as if they're own, as if they're their own. So don't like dumb yourself down or tolerate stuff that you don't have to tolerate, thinking that this is what you have to deal with, that you have to deal with a man or a woman that doesn't want to deal with your child, because they have to understand when they get you, it's all of you or none of you. And I want to encourage you to let you know there is somebody out there that God has designed just for you. Don't accept nothing less. Don't lower your standards. Just stick true to who you are, and God's going to send exactly who you need with all your babies. Tell them how many children you have, baby. Tell them how many children.
Four.
Exactly.
Four.
And it was never a question of whether or not I wanted to be with you or not because of your children.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And I love them. I wish somebody would tell me them kids ain't mine. You gonna have to fight me in the street.
Uh-huh.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all awesome. People even say like, oh, they look like him. I thought he was there.
I am really? The papa at the moment, Bella.
Shut up. I mean, maybe you was, but we just don't know.
Let me tell you, when God does a thing, he does it well. Yeah, even to the point where he will take me, he took me and implanted me in a family where it's believable. You don't look at the family and be like, oh, I know this is a blended family.
Right.
But that's how meticulous God is. Yeah. And when you pray and you say and you ask God for what you want, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Exactly what you want. You ain't got to bend on. You know how we say the older we get, our list gets shorter? No, baby, stay single until somebody who fits your list, the purpose of having a list, comes and fits your list. But pray on your list and make sure your list is realistic.
Yeah.
And not only that it's realistic, make sure it's one thing to have a list, but do you deserve your list?
Come on. Exactly. Exactly.
You can't ask God for a husband and you're not a wife. Man that findeth a wife, not a girl that wants to be a wife.
Right.
When I found her, she was already put together. It wasn't a come get me project. No.
Come on.
She was already a wife, just waiting to be made a wife.
Yeah.
That's why.
We talk about that all the time when Bishop and I have premarital counseling sessions, and it's unfortunate because a lot of times once people get to that premarital place, there's no turning back for them. And the question he'll ask is, are you ready? Do you really believe you're ready? And people will be like, yeah, I'm ready. But the reality is that people are preparing. They're not really ready. I tell my kids all the time, are you ready to go? They'll say, yes, I'm ready to go. But they're sitting down. They don't have their shoes on. They don't have all their belongings. You're really not ready. Ready looks like being at the door, completely ready to walk out of the door. So you are not ready. Yes, to go.
Go in the bathroom and brush their teeth.
I'm like, exactly. You're not ready. You got other things you need to do. You're still preparing. And you done took a seat. And now you telling me you ready. You think you're ready, but you're not. For a lot of people, they're in that place. They think they're ready, but they still got their shoes off. They still got some extra things they need to get ready for.
That's why we go through the problems that we go through in jumping in and out of relationships and things, because you're not ready. First of all, if you don't have stick-to-itiveness within yourself, and every time you and your boyfriend, girlfriend, when you're in that stage, have an argument and you run, boo, you ain't ready.
Right.
You don't know how to stay. You wouldn't be able to stay in a marriage for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Because if it's something that you don't like, you run. No, that's not marriage.
You don't deal with conflict well.
Yeah, because when you get married, running is not an option.
No, it's not. No,
you got to learn how to fight.
Shutting down isn't either. Yes.
That's it.
Shutting down isn't an option. Yeah. You got to communicate. You have to talk about the hard things. Yeah. You know, you have to deal with stuff.
You got to deal with people. Even during times where you don't like people. Because I know there are some days where she can't stand me because, you know, I'm used to being a bachelor and I like to throw my clothes beside the dirty clothes hamper instead of inside the dirty clothes hamper. So then she, instead of going to sleep at
night.
Not
Rick. What? You know, not Rick.
She's a neat freak. And, you know, just one little piece of pants is out of place and she just can't sleep. She's just sitting there staring at you. I'm exaggerating just the opposite way. So she's just sitting there staring at you. You just trying to get sleep. And I can't sleep because I just feel her eyeballs burning the side of my face. All because I got clothes on the floor.
Now he's exaggerating because I
do
sleep.
Yeah, okay. Who are you going to believe? No, I'm like,
Tracy.
They like her all day.
That's funny.
A lot. Learning to blend with a person will teach you a lot about yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
How you have to find a way not to dumb yourself down, but at the same time, you have to find a way to coexist with another person.
Well, for me, that was, I wouldn't say hard, but I had to learn that because I was independent, you know, like being a only child. I've been alone my whole life, basically. You know, being a single mom, I've been pretty independent working this thing by myself. So it was a transition for me to actually not dumb myself down, but let him lead.
Submit. Gotcha. But see, it's easy to submit when you have something to submit to.
Right.
Yeah. That doesn't mislead or misguide you.
Right.
So when a woman won't submit to you, that shows you that she doesn't trust you. Now, the question that you have to ask yourself is, why doesn't she trust you?
Why? Exactly.
What does she see in you and what you do and how you lead or if you lead? Some men have to be pushed to lead. And how can she trust you and submit to you when you have no leadership or you don't even know where y'all are going?
Right.
What is she submitting to? It's almost like she wants to tell you, no, you submit to me. Let me show you. No, and that's out of order.
Right. 100%. Well, you guys have been absolutely amazing. This has been great. I know that you have blessed so many people. No, I know that I'm going to get so many calls and comments about how you have really helped people. So I'll ask you one last question to end this all up, to sum this all up. Tell me three words that you would tell your 15-year prior self. So 15 years earlier from now, what would you, words of advice would you tell yourself?
Regarding each other? Oh, I tell him all the time.
Yeah, any or anybody.
Like, what was it? The 10-year reunion. I'm like, why didn't you come earlier?
Because you weren't ready.
You weren't ready. But it's probably both cases.
I'm going to stick to the actual question. And I would say that if I could tell my earlier self anything, three words, don't rush, dude. Don't rush. Take your time. Trust and know that your steps are ordered by God. It doesn't matter when you want things to happen. Your timing and God's timing are totally different. And I would prefer any day to be within God's timing than within my own.
Yeah.
Don't rush. Enjoy life.
Yeah.
And it's coming. Just chill. It's coming.
That's good.
You want to try three words?
You are so funny.
I understood the assignment. Listen, I'm just glad that I have somebody that I can do life with and have fun with. If I can't be myself, then it's like you having me trapped inside of a cage.
I'm
happy that I'm free to be. I'm happy to be the free to be the annoying me.
That's awesome. Because
Whitney, you know, because I'm extra.
That's awesome, babe, and
it's a lot, even with the children, and it's new to them as well, but they embrace it, and we're enjoying
that's
life.
That's great,
and I'm just happy to be.
That is so great.
Yeah,
that's great, and I'm happy for you guys.
The guy that he is, because with the whole pastor thing, I was kind of worried, but. We have stayed ourselves, true to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah,
That's awesome.
Yes, we are.
Pastor Rick at home is Rick. It ain't Pastor Rick. It's Rick.
I believe that. I believe that. Well, I bid you all more and more blessings throughout the years to come, and I look forward to years down the line having you guys back just to come and to share more with everybody. So thank you so much. I appreciate you all. Hey, I love you guys.
We should travel to Dubai and do a session in Dubai together.
We can do that. I'm down for that. Let's go. Let's go. I'm actually going to do something similar to that. So you in spirit. I feel you.
He be talking. I love you. That's cool. I thank you for your podcast. I really do appreciate what you're doing. I really do.
Oh, thank you.
Don't stop.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The funny thing is, after this, if it's still available, I'm going to go show her the old podcast. Be like, check
it out. Oh, yeah, it is. It is. It is, for sure.
Look at the transformation. My God.
Yes, Lord. All right, y'all. Well, thank you, everyone. This was Ladies Takeover Empowerment Podcast. Until next time, don't forget to like, share, and I'll see you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.